So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye is interviewing those on the front lines of the debate and the response to the COVID health crisis. Tim Sheehy is president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He's part of the dialogue on how we reopen. Tim, thanks so much for taking time to talk to Wisconsin Eye.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Tim, let's talk about the economic and health hits to the Milwaukee metropolitan area over the last 2+ months. Talk about that. How severe is it, sir?
Well, it's severe, and I think back, our organization's 159 years old, so somebody was sitting in my chair during the Civil War, the Spanish flu, two World Wars, and a number of recessions. But I can tell you, in my 40-year career, this is the sharpest decline we've seen from a outside impact like COVID-19. You think about the state, 30% drop in GDP. Nationally, we're going to erase all the job gains we made over the last decade. Yeah. Certainly a big economic impact. But when you unpack that, Steve, and look at the 30% decline in the state GDP, only about 5% of that is due to the governor's safer at home order. The rest of it is really due to companies acting on their own and the confidence of both employees and consumers. And that's the big challenge going forward.
Well, let's talk about specific sectors in the metro area. Talk about manufacturing. Talk about the entertainment industries. Talk about hotels, restaurants, bars. Talk about tourism. Which sector has been most impacted, most hurt?
Well, it's almost like a cascading fountain where the water starts running at the top. And then you get less, it dissipates as it goes down. So I think about large companies like Northwestern Mutual, like Direct Supply, like Manpower, other large companies where they're going to slowly bring their employees back. And that doesn't mean they've laid them off, but they're going to work remotely. They're going to do less travel. They're not sending them out to conventions and meetings. And you think about the implication of that multiplied. And I see a really long, slow road back for restaurants, for hotels, for anybody engaged in the meeting and convention business, the travel business. And some of that is going to be because of COVID-19 and the interest in just making sure employees are safe. And some of it is going to be a permanent change, both due to the economy, but also due to just people changing the nature of how they're going to do business, and fewer people are going to be traveling. They're going to be doing more of what we're doing. And that's going to have a longer term impact on a big part of our economy.
As you talk to employers in your area, Tim, how much help have they gotten from the two federal packages, the small business loans and the PPP?
Well, frankly, they've done very well. If you were a microcosm of the state of Wisconsin, and at least the first PPP round that was spent out, and again, that's like draining the Hoover Dam with a garden hose. But as that was spent out, I think Wisconsin ranked about 10th in the country, a little over $9 billion flowed back to companies. And I think that's been very helpful for some companies in terms of keeping their folks employed. But all of that rolls off in July, and I'm not dismissing its impact, but then we're going to see the real impact of less consumer spending and an economy that's going to be recovering. And so that, again, is going to be the challenge going forward.
The employers, okay, now you mentioned the scenario, there's this additional $600 a week, only through July. So are you really concerned about what happens August, September, and later in the year?
Very much so, because many employers have been able to furlough their employees, and those employees have been kept whole, and in cases they've actually been better off. But as that rolls off, is there going to be the work to bring them all back? And for those that don't come back, Where do they find jobs? And again, I'm thinking of particular in the hotel and hospitality and travel industries. And even if Safer at Home opens up, a restaurant isn't going to be able to operate at 25 or 50% capacity, whether that is a government regulation or whether that's consumers. And you saw in the latest poll yesterday, only about 25% of the respondents to the poll felt comfortable going back to a restaurant. And so those businesses are just not going to survive with that kind of consumer confidence.
Knowing how closely sports fans like you and I watch some of these pro leagues, will the, I want to ask specifically, will the Bucks ever get a chance to make a run at the NBA championship? Will the Brewers be back in Miller Park?
Well, you know, this was a big year for Milwaukee. Bright lights, big stage, the Ryder Cup, the DNC, and a potential NBA championship. And those lights are flickering. You saw the recent announcement that the DNC is looking at what they can do virtually, which yes. just signals to me there aren't going to be 50,000 people coming here for a week-long convention. And then secondly, again, going back to the poll, only 25% of the respondents felt comfortable going to a sporting event. So as the Bucks think about their future season and the Brewers think about starting theirs, they're going to have to probably do it with fewer fans in the stands, both because that's the safe thing to do and because in practice, the consumer isn't ready to come back to a large venue in close quarters.
But you do expect then some attempt by the Bucks to get the NBA championship and some restart for the Brewers at some point this season?
Well, I think the NBA season, my handicapping is more in doubt than the start of the baseball season. And the baseball season may start where you're just playing teams regionally in a stadium that has few, if any, fans in it, and then we'll go from there. But again, I'm benchmarking off of companies who are saying they're unlikely to bring people who can work from home back to their facilities until the not doing it until the fall.
Okay. We're going to focus on the MMAC's smart restart plan. But before I get there, let me ask you, was the first safer at home order by Governor Evers justified, Tim?
Actually, the first safer at home order, we met with the governor on a Sunday night, and I think he made the pronouncement the next week. And our meeting on Sunday night, virtually, of course, was a discussion that we felt that the right thing to do was to implement some type of social distancing. And we applauded the governor for doing that. I think that was necessary. I think that now has run its course. And our most recent proposal was to start to move to phase one in the Badger Bounce Back Plan as early as this week. The governor has made a slight turn of the dial. I'm hopeful this week that five of those red light or six of the lights that were red, five have now turned green. And I'm hopeful that this week we will move to phase one of the Badger Bounce Back Plan, which basically opens almost every business except for bars. It restricts public gatherings to 10 or so people, continues to encourage people to work remotely if they can. But by and large, it really starts to move us in the right step.
Okay. So you really want to see phase one kick in this week. Are you saying then that Governor Evers has been too cautious in some of these recent changes? You know, small retailers, 14,000 of them, average employees, six. Has the governor gone too slowly?
Well, I think that's not for me to judge. This is the most vexing problem that any leader has faced, I think, in the last 40 or 50 years. And if you think about balancing health, safety, community, and economy, it's a really tough road to hoe. And there'll be plenty of opportunity to look back at this. I think the governor's done a good job of managing it. We would have encouraged him to go a little faster towards the end, largely based on the fact that the healthcare institutions are in a good spot. The curve's been flattened. They can handle the crisis that we're in. But of course, we're in uncharted territories because if we open too quickly and there's a spike in COVID-related cases, we're going to delay, again, consumer confidence and employee confidence. So I give him good marks, but I'd like to see the dial go a little more quickly here towards the end than it has.
You mentioned healthcare. I will get next to your smart restart plan, but lasting impacts on the Milwaukee metropolitan area healthcare industry. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll use the words of a couple of the healthcare CEOs. Absolutely devastating. I mean, they've seen their businesses cratered. They've seen elective surgeries, essential surgeries delayed. That's their revenue stream. As they cleared the decks for the COVID crisis and creating capacity. And I think now all of our major healthcare institutions are starting to bring back people to have essential and elective surgeries. They have the capacity to handle the current crisis. They've learned greatly over the last, 4 to 6 weeks. But it has been an economically damaging situation for them, as again, they've tried to balance the crisis and then also protect their employees when they were short of the PPE equipment they needed to do their jobs.
Okay, now let's start about the, now let's talk about the smart restart plan. From your website, there's a diagram that we're gonna show on a graphic. And it shows, the first diagram, it shows the key elements: safety, economy, health, and community. Talk about those before we talk about the takeaways.
Well, those are mutually inclusive goals, and you have to be safe if you're going to go out as a consumer. You have to be healthy if you're going to go out as a consumer, and the same is true as an employee. And then we want to respect the impacts to the community, our healthcare community, the underserved community. And then we want to make sure that we don't kind of crater an economy. So the smart restart is designed to balance those and to say that we have the healthcare capacity, that we can start opening. And really our point is with a smart restart that we are going to have to live in this new abnormal with the COVID crisis for some period of time to come, 12, 18 months or longer, until there is a vaccine for the virus. So it's not just about closing business, it's learning how we operate and how we do that smartly. And we believe that employers have a lot of really good best practices to start to engage and do that. And we're only gonna learn by doing.
Okay, now let's walk through the takeaways under smart restart. Number one, engage in a smart restart of the Wisconsin economy informed by metrics contained in the key health and safety indicator dashboard. What's the source of the dashboard?
Well, right now I would just adopt the state's dashboard. Okay. It took a while to stand it up, but it's there. Five of the six key metrics are green. And so we are in a good position in terms of managing the crisis based on the number of people in hospitals, the number of deaths, the percentage of people testing positive. So those indicators kind of governed that we were capable of handling the crisis in our healthcare system, which puts us to the next step.
Okay, and the next takeaway, employers encouraged to implement best practices to self-determine readiness to meet employee and customer health and safety needs. Let me follow up on that. Wisconsin, as you know, trades back and forth with Indiana as number one in manufacturing. What advice would you give metropolitan Milwaukee manufacturers as they contemplate reopening in the post-COVID era?
Yeah, I think a lot of them have stayed open because our manufacturing businesses are essential. Mm-hmm. And there's a really blunt instrument that the government had in terms of essential versus non-essential. But most of them have stayed open. And so they have learned from many of them from their own operations in Asia, in Europe, in other places of the world where they've been dealing with the COVID crisis long before it hit the U.S. And so they have in place kind of the social distancing, the cleaning that they need, the PPE equipment. And so they have been operating through this crisis, and we can learn a lot from what they've been doing because they have stayed open, protecting their employees, continuing to produce essential outputs.
Well, for example, Milwaukee Tool does a lot of business with China. Are you hearing from them and other manufacturers that they're having trouble getting some of their products and some of the things they rely on to manufacture from China?
It's a really good question. China is now back up, largely running, but I think this has got every employer or every company, particularly manufacturers, very focused on the weak link in their supply chain. And I think one of the changes you're going to see is where they've identified a supply chain that could be a sole source weak link where COVID hits it, they're going to start to duplicate that. Some of that is going to benefit work here back in the U.S., but they have been taught a very rough lesson about having a supply chain that is susceptible to an impact from a pandemic like COVID.
Okay, another takeaway. Providing and sustaining employee and consumer confidence will be both a health and economic imperative. We want regional employers to be best in class. Tim, I got to ask you bluntly, how safe is Metropolitan Milwaukee when it accounts for, according to DHS stats, the five county region, 58% of all COVID positives, and I'm sorry, two-thirds of all COVID deaths. How safe is Milwaukee Metro?
Well, it's again, on a relative scale, it's very safe. I think 70% of the people that have passed away from COVID are over the age of 70 that have another health risk. And so that's not to belittle that. It's just to acknowledge that this is a dense environment and we have to understand kind of where COVID's hitting. We have to be able to test, which is why the testing capacity is important, and then track and trace. But the point on consumer confidence, again, is I can open my restaurant or my business, but if only 25% of the customers come to take advantage of it, I'm not going to be successful. So these businesses are incented both to get their employees back and to get the consumers back to really engage in really best practices to make sure that their workplaces, again, and their businesses are safe.
Okay, let's assume the Brewers are playing at Miller Park in August. And if I'm in Winnebago County, out of Gamey County, what assurance would I have as a Brewers fan, because I am a Brewers fan, that coming to the park, I'll be safe?
Well, I think the question goes in reverse, and it's a really good one. If I'm in Milwaukee and I'm on a vacation in Winnebago County, how do I know that I'm going to be safe there either? And if I'm in Winnebago and I'm coming and I've got customers coming from a county that has a high incidence of COVID, how do I know that's not going to spread? I think the best description I've heard of this, I'm not an epidemiologist, but this one stuck with me. If you're an adult swimming in the deep end of the pool and there's a bunch of kids tinkling in the shallow end, it gets in the water. And so we're all going to be involved in this discussion about how we mitigate the impact of COVID. And I don't think you're going to come down to a ball game unless you're confident that the team has taken every precaution and you feel comfortable that you have enough protective gear to watch a game. Otherwise, you're not going to come. But we're all kind of interrelated when it comes to this impact here in Wisconsin.
As Milwaukee reopens, from an entertainment, from a sports, from a tourism standpoint, is it your advice that visitors and residents and commuters from the suburban counties, should everybody wear a mask, my friend?
Well, again, I'm not the doctor, but I think what you're going to see is it's a standard now for people coming back to work that they have protective equipment. If they're not social distance, that they wear a mask, and those things are going to become kind of protocols in companies. But, you know, as one of my board members described this, if I'm standing in a hazmat suit welcoming my employees back to work, how safe are they going to feel? And so to the extent that you have to put all this equipment on and take all these precautions to come back to work, and you can work safely remotely, you may be more productive doing that. And that's why I say it's going to take time for companies who have people working remotely to bring them back to their workplaces, because they want to make sure that it's safe and they have all these protections in place.
The last takeaway from the MMA website on your Smart Restart: the next normal will extend until a vaccine is widely available. You've heard the national debate, the international debate. What if there is no vaccine available, my friend?
Well, then again, I think it's not a question of shutting the economy down and opening it back up. It's a question of using our ingenuity and our resilience to figure out how we operate if COVID comes back in a new flu season. We have much more experience about who it attacks, where it attacks, and still the challenge of people with asymptomatic carrying it. So again, we're going to have to practice a lot of precautions for some period of time, which is going to affect how we work, live, play, and learn. And that is one of the most challenging aspects, whether you're running a college campus, a K-12 system, a business that interfaces with customers, or you have a campus with, you know, 5,000 people that work on it. You're going to have to do that much differently than you have in the past.
What are you hearing from leaders of the long-term care industry, the nursing home industry in the Milwaukee area, in terms of their new realities in the post-COVID world?
Again, very, very challenging. But one of the companies that's a member of ours, Direct Supply, provides a lot of product to nursing homes. And I know they're coming up with innovative solutions to kind of ionize, this is out of my realm here, but ionize or treat the air. And so I think, again, you're going to see a lot of innovations in those facilities, but probably also a lot of restrictions, unfortunately, because those are the kinds of facilities that have a susceptible population that we know we have to protect and isolate much better than we did.
The smart restart plan of MMAC, do you see that as a blueprint just for your Milwaukee metro area, or is this a statewide plan, sir?
Well, again, we can speak directly to our members here in southeastern Wisconsin, but as I mentioned, the virus doesn't have barriers. And while there may be counties in northern Wisconsin where there are very few cases, once the weather opens up and people travel north to tourism, which is a big part of northern Wisconsin, they're going to want to make sure that the practices that we're implementing down here because of our density may become very vibrant challenges in northern Wisconsin. When I have a restaurant full of people from Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois, Milwaukee, and wherever, congregating now in close proximity in northern Wisconsin, that's largely escaped this. So these are the kinds of things we're going to have to think about as people move naturally in this economy.
When the governor on Monday announced, to use his phrase, turning the dial to allow standalone retail stores with an exit door to the outside, 5 customers at a time, Speaker Voss said it's time to reopen the whole state. Do you agree with the speaker, Tim?
Well, what I agree with is that the state has a very blunt instrument when it starts to open and close businesses. And what I agree with is that I think the healthcare indicators put us in a point where we could open that dial further than the governor has so far. And again, this is the frustrating part for the governor, is it's really hard to go in and surgically identify which businesses can best open. And so he turned the dial, which was very helpful to small retailers, but there are other companies that could continue to open that are not open. Non-essential manufacturers that make really important products that employ people, they could be open if they have the right social distancing procedures in their location. So again, this gets very, very messy, as I describe it, very blunt, when you say you can open and you can close based on a ruling that's meant to try to protect public health, but just is very clumsy in terms of how it treats businesses.
Let me speak about the entertainment industry. Are the owners of taverns, bars, and hotels that you talk to, are they very willing to make some of these major changes in practices to assure both their employees and their customers that it's safe to go to their businesses?
Yeah, 200%, because they know they have to, because there is going to be no magic if the governor moves to phase one and opens up everybody but a bar, that restaurants, you know, turn their closed sign to an open sign. People are not going to come in there if they don't feel safe, if they don't see the procedures in place. And we've had this discussion with our retail members, you know, do they now have to develop throwaway napkins? Are they going to have people use plastic cups so they're not refilling glasses that other people have used? Is there a greater separation on tables? Do the waiters have masks on? You know, all sorts of things are going to have to come in play before people are confident that they're going to go back out of their homes and dine in a restaurant.
These examples of friction between those wearing masks and those saying take them off, and the unfortunate attacks on some workers in stores, is that going on in the Milwaukee metro area? This in your face, take off your mask, put on your mask friction?
Well, again, I think it's a challenge. Some people view this as a hoax or not as deep a threat as it is, and others are very concerned about it. And again, we're going to have to learn how we live in this environment. I went with my son last weekend to Menards to pick up some products, and they require everybody going into Menards to wear a mask. So for a buck, you've got to buy a mask and put it on and walk through there. And I think that's just going to be life as we know it, because the workers in Menards may not feel safe if you're not wearing that protective equipment. And so every business is going to have to learn how to deal with this. And as citizens, I think we have to recognize that we're citizens of a community. And some people are going to feel safer, and it is, in fact, is going to be safer if you do those, if you take those kind of precautions.
Well, as you and I know, any minute the state Supreme Court could issue a ruling on whether the governor exceeded his authority by extending safer at home until May 26th. So I realize it's a scenario. If the governor loses that court fight and the court rules that the governor indeed illegally extended it, what do you think should be the next steps?
Well, I'm hopeful that we have kind of an alignment of policy and healthcare indicators. Today is May 13th. It is the last day of the 60 days of the governor's emergency power. It looks like the indicators are lining up really well. So we could see a movement towards the next step of the Badger Bounce Back Program, which would move us farther along the path. The discussion that the legislature, the lawsuit between the legislature and the governor will stake out kind of future ground for whether or not the Department of Health Services has the ability to implement an order like this without going through the rulemaking process. So I'm really focused on right now, what can we do to make sure that we keep taking the steps and not get caught up in the lawsuit, which I understand the importance of, but hopefully that's for sorting out a future issue, and the one we have right now gets resolved based on the healthcare data that we're seeing.
I interviewed Senator Johnson yesterday and asked him about another economic recovery package from Washington. Do you think Washington should hold off on another economic package? You've heard about the Democratic plan, $6,000, basically a guaranteed income. Should Washington adopt another COVID response plan or hold off, sir?
Well, I think the balance here is this is, flipping the adage of, short-term gain, long-term pain. This may be a short-term gain with really long-term pain. And so I think this is a challenge to add the amount of spending they're talking on top of, $2 trillion on top of what we've already spent in the debt. And I guess push came to shove, I'd really want to look at this carefully, because my concern is we are going to dig such a big hole when it comes to federal spending and debt that we are going to have a difficult time climbing out of this. And so I would be hesitant to pile on to what I think has been upfront some necessary relief by the federal government, but very concerned now that we've crossed the point where this is going to be debilitating to our long-term fiscal structure.
Doesn't that long-term national debt, doesn't that, Piper, have to be paid by your son and any grandchildren that you have?
It really does. And so that's why I say we've poured more federal resources into this than I think any crisis that's ever been in front of us. And I would certainly like to take a breath before we pass or even look at passing another piece of federal legislation that spends nearly $2 trillion. We just have a difficult time as a federal government spending this money this fast, this well.
One further question on a potential another aid package from Washington. Senator Johnson said he would not vote for any package that offered I'm going to get this right. The only package he support would offer legal immunity to healthcare institutions and healthcare providers, so they're not sued for malpractice, and his term, malpractice lawyers get a big part of any economic recovery. Do you support that?
Well, I don't have the details of it in front of me, but I very much understand the challenge here As employers open up, as healthcare institutions have dealt with a crisis, and certainly nobody wants to excuse negligence. But again, this is uncharted waters here. And I think employers, the reason they're going to come back very slowly is they're very concerned about bringing employees back into an unsafe environment, not because they did something malicious, but because there was something, again, you've got an asymptomatic worker comes back, they don't test positive for COVID, or their temperature looks fine, and then they infect other employees, and what's the responsibility of the employer? So again, I think, I would not start by jumping down or jumping on the neck of employers unless there's something really negligent, or we are really going to slow down the economic uptick of this economy.
Two final questions. Thanks for your time. The governor is about to announce how he's going to spend $1.9 billion that is coming to him from the first Washington COVID package. Now, ag interest wants $50 million. The secretary of WEDC said maybe $100 million for small businesses. What would you like to see in the governor's plan for $1.9 billion to recover from COVID for the Milwaukee metro area, sir?
Well, I think, first of all, there's going to be a call for some of the healthcare institutions. We want to make sure that they're in good shape. And they have the ability, and that we make some public infrastructure investments, again, in the testing, tracking, and tracing, the three T's, because those are going to be very important to dealing with COVID when it returns. Certainly relief to different industry clusters that have been impacted by this. And then, I think about, K-12 education and others that are going to have a call. So there's going to be no shortage as to where we spend the money. I think it's going to be a really challenging decision for the governor.
Well, what about some of the sports and entertainment? Should the Bucks get some of that 1.9? Should the Brewers? Should Summerfest, which is now rescheduled into the fall?
Well, I think, again, those are downstream. They have employees, and I'm, again, not belittling the impact on the employees of those organizations, but I think they're downstream from some of the needs that are further upstream in our healthcare area and other parts of the economy that could use some help. State and local government is another place we're going to have to look at, particularly in Milwaukee, the city and the county. We're going to have some huge cost impacts from the lack of revenue. We've got some deep-seated challenges that need to be addressed. So again, there are going to be more than $1.9 billion worth of requests for this funding.
Okay, last question. I want you to look in the future, 3 to 4 months from now. Give me your upside scenario and give me your downside scenario as we continue to wrestle with COVID-19, sir.
Well, I think the upside scenario is that we make progress. Again, I don't see a lot of employers bringing people back to work over the summer, a slow phase in, and we continue down that path. There's an identified vaccine or we're on the path towards one. That's the upside scenario. The downside scenario is that we see a resurgence of COVID. We don't do a good job of tracking and tracing it, and consumer confidence wanes, and employees feel less safe about coming back to work, and we roll back kind of the progress we're making. So really, to me, the punchline here is effectively figuring out how we live, work, play, and learn, knowing COVID is going to be with us for at least the near term.
Let's hope for the upside. Tim Sheehy is president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Tim, I want to thank you very much for your time. Very informative discussion. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity, Steve.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.